Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you. So glad that I'm back to see each of you. Few announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletin, just look to the back there. A couple things just to point out. First of all, just a reminder of the church picnic on Sunday, September 10th. We're not going to be here. We're going to be picnicking over at Natural Chimneys as we've done several years in the past. And so please tell those that would like, you know, or maybe come to church and are not familiar with the date, let them know so that they don't show up that day here and no one's here. Be sure to share with them about the picnic on September 10th. Also, what a great opportunity to invite someone to come and be a part of that. It's outside worship, and sometimes that's a little less intimidating for new people. So a great opportunity to invite someone to church and let them come and have a good time there at the church picnic. Also, there's going to be a CBC, which is Covenant Brethren Church Fellowship event. It's going to be located at Woodstock at the Antioch Church. Maybe some of you are familiar with that church there in Woodstock. It's a rather large church. But they're going to have just an afternoon there of greeting and getting to know one another, just meeting some of the other churches in the Covenant Brethren Blue Ridge region is what we're a part of, the Blue Ridge Region Covenant Brethren Church. I hope that there's a group that can go. Kenny, maybe we can even get the van together and take some people that way as well. I don't know if that date's available or not, but yeah, it would be great to have a group from Moscow go and be a part of this gathering. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope that you are as well. Also, as well, just a reminder of a Youth Fall Festival that will be here, and we're starting to put the work on that, get that together, and we're looking forward to that youth event here at the church. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? With that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this glorious day. Lord, thank You again for the opportunity to gather here just to open with this praise and worship to You, Lord. Just pray that throughout this service, Lord, that You will receive this worship that we present to You today, Lord, that You'll receive it from our hearts, Lord, and from that place in our life, that, Lord, we just pour our love out to You for Your Son, Jesus, for His sacrifice and His death for us, Lord. We just thank You so much for our Savior. Lord, He is the Savior of the world. We just proclaim His name here today, the name of Jesus. Just pray that all people will bow their knee to the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that one day all knees will bow, not willingly though, but we pray now that willingly people will come and, Lord, see that they have a Savior like Jesus. He's so good and so loving. And Lord, we just praise and glorify His name here together. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. This is coming from various scriptures, Hebrews, Psalms, Isaiah. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful. Your word is a lamp to my feet and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word is a light to my path. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of our God will stand forever. Let's turn in our hymnals, page 349, Trust and Obey. Page 349, Trust and Obey. Favorite hymns, I think. Really enjoy that one. Okay, I want to take just a few minutes here to gather up our prayer requests and our praises. Many of you have asked about my dad, Dana, and I would just ask you continue to keep him in your prayers. We praise the Lord that he is home, and he is still recovering from all the surgeries and different things that he's been through. One thing that he had asked was for me to share again, just a thank you for all the cards, the prayers, the calls, the gifts, all those who have reached out to both Dana and my mother, Debbie, in this time, just to really appreciate that. Our family thanks you, and we know that the prayers are what is sustaining him through this. The doctors even seem to think he, with a person who's been through two sets of chest tubes just in the last little bit, that is a lot to go through. And Dad said, I just don't know how I got through it. And I said, I know how you got through it, through the prayers and through the Lord giving you strength. And said he said, amen, that's right. And so I just ask for your continued prayer for him, for his recovery. It's slow, but he is home. And so we just pray that that he keeps getting better each day. Also, if you would, continue to pray for my wife, Deborah. She had surgery this past week, and she's recovering well, although one of the spots that they did surgery on was getting a little infected, so they called her an antibiotic, and we're just praying that that heals up soon. So please be in prayer for her as well. Also, if you would, put on your prayer list Lisa Strotterman. That is a niece of Joanne. She's been diagnosed with breast cancer and will be going for treatments for that. So if you would, just put Lisa Strotterman in your prayer, on your prayer list, please. And I appreciate, I guess, a word of thanks for each of you praying for me and the family as we traveled to Florida. We got there safe and got home safe, and we just praise the Lord for that and know that the good Lord was looking after us. I'd never pulled a camper before, and now I got 2,000 miles under my belt, so I'd say I'm getting there, but everything went really well, and certainly we missed being here with each of you, thought about you, and so appreciate the prayers for that, and the time there was very replenishful and very hot, so those two things. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Lee?
Savannah Miller.
Yuck. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
But she has to go back to Philadelphia once a week. Check her blood and predictable. But she is home and been a long year.
Yes, absolutely. She too is finding strength through prayer and God getting her through that, I know. I think also Hawaii, the devastation there is on our minds, seeing the pictures of a whole community really just kind of destroyed by this brutal fire. And I think they said somewhere in the 90s right now is the number of people that had perished by this fire, but they said only 2%, I think, of the homes have been checked. So the number is expected to go up a lot. And so we just pray for those communities, pray for Hawaii and all those devastated by these wildfires. Anyone else?
There,
yes.
Just pray for everybody who's fighting illness right now.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, part of our camping family, he's 45 years old. He's been battling cancer now for the last year and a half. They sent him home this week with no more tests available. So he just asked that anybody who's going through it or anybody knows somebody, just pray for him because he's put it in God's hands now.
Yeah. What's his name, Kenny?
It's Mike Mullins.
Mike
he's
Mullins.
He's from Charleston, West Virginia.
Okay. Mike Mullins. We'll be praying for Mike. And
he's 45 and just been handled a hard case.
Yep. And we hear his heart that he's, even in the midst of his sickness, he's thinking about others and praying for others that might be going through something similar. So certainly hear that. Thank you, Kenny.
Yes, sir.
And we pray for those that are sick. Other prayer requests, praises?
Just keep my dad on that list.
Absolutely, Gail. Pray for Gail's.
Yeah,
yeah, continue to pray for Gail's dad. But we praise the Lord for all the good answered prayers he's received. At times it's been, I was going to say, yeah, we just praise the Lord for that. So, amen. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call forth our ushers now to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let us stand together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You bow your heads with me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we sing our praise to you here this morning. Lord, we sing and glorify you and your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we can come to Him personally. Lord, He's our personal Savior. He's our friend that walks with us daily. Lord, when we go through difficulties, He is there. Lord, He's always a friend that we can call on. He helps us. Lord, we thank you for Him. Lord, we thank you that He hears our prayers. Lord, and Jesus answers our prayers. Lord, we see in this congregation, Lord, the answered prayers each and every day. Lord, we hear the testimonies. Lord, we share the testimonies of what God is doing in our life. And Lord, we just give you thanks that, Lord, you see us in our hardship and our struggles. Lord, you see us when we are sick, and Lord, when we are weak. And Lord, we find strength through you as you answer our prayers. Lord, we continue to lift those upon our prayer list this morning, that your hand might be upon those that need healing. Lord, those that are dealing with very serious diagnoses like cancer and other sicknesses. Lord, you are the great physician, and we turn to you for that healing that they need in this time. Lord, we lift them up to you, that your will might be done, not according to our desire, Lord, but according to your own desire. Lord, do we pray these things, that they might be healed. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the offering this morning. Lord, I pray a blessing upon those, that you would bless those that give and that continue to faithfully seek to honor you in their giving and their tithing. Lord, just pray that you continue to bless Moscow to be that light, Lord, that shines forth the truth into a dark world. Lord, that proclaims the good news, the truth, the scriptures, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we are a church that stands upon the truth, that believes the truth, that obeys the truth, and that preaches and proclaims the truth. Help us, Lord, to do that always, to be faithful to your word and to your truth. Lord, I pray blessing now upon us as we seek your word. Lord, might our ears and eyes and our heart be open to receive those things that, Lord, you desire for us to receive. And Lord, as always, we praise you and give you thanks. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed as well as our youth Sunday school. And in your Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20 is what we're looking at here. Jesus is going to be talking about God's Word, the law, the prophets, the word that God spoke to Israel through the law and the prophets. And we're continuing on with our series that is titled, What Did Jesus Say About That? And of course, this Sunday is, What Did Jesus Say About God's Word? You know, it's important to hear what God has to say about things, isn't it? It's important to know and hear the words of Jesus. I've heard of people that have done Bible studies where they just focus on the red letters. And I like that. I think that's a good idea, just to go through and look at what Jesus said. Because what Jesus has to say about something is extremely important. Think of how often we in our life look to others to hear what they have to say about something. Maybe you need an advice on something. You'll go to a friend or someone that has been through something like that. And you want to hear what they have to say. I think of how often we go to, when we want to know something about politics, we go listening to others and see what they have to say about it. Maybe you turn on the news channel and you turn on the talking heads, I call them, because they're always talking, aren't they? You can turn it on, they're always talking about something. And maybe you want to know what their opinion is. And maybe you're hoping to get some insight or information from them. Or maybe you're just wanting them to agree with what you're thinking. I don't know. But we turn on the TV, don't we? We want to know something about politics, we turn on the news. We want to know something about cooking, maybe we turn on the cooking channel. I've never really watched the cooking channel. I probably should, maybe, as bad as I cook. But there, you know, there's a various chance. You want to know something about sports, you turn on ESPN, right? They have something on there about the sports. You can learn something about that. Where do we go when we want to know something about God? Maybe you could turn on the God channel, right? Or TBN, maybe, one of those channels. You could learn some things there as well. But I think the place that you would go is right here to the Word of God, don't you? If you want to know something about God, you don't have to turn on the clicker and find out what TBN's telling you. All you need to do, in fact, it'd be better just turn that off. You just go right here And you can learn exactly what God wants you to know about Him. And you can look at the words of Jesus. You can look at Scripture. Everything in here is good. Isn't it a shame today that they're trying to remove this from all sorts of places? The words of God are inscribed on buildings around the United States. And what are they trying to do? Trying to chisel it off. Get rid of the Word of God. The Word of God has been put up in different monuments. And you find there's an attack on the monuments. They want those tore down and destroyed. Seems there's an attack on this book, isn't it? There's an attack against the Word of God and the things that this book says. There is nothing bad in this book. Most recently I heard that the atheists were going after the schools that head the Bible in the libraries. And they were trying to get it thrown out. And I think in some cases they had. They had gotten it removed from the school systems. There's nothing in this book that is bad. There's only good. It's God's truth. It's God's Word. And when we go somewhere looking for what God has to say, we need to be going right here. I encourage you, spend time in this book. Turn that TV off. Turn those talking heads off. They're not going to tell you anything that you don't already know. You're probably listening to that channel because they're just agreeing with what you think already. Turn that off and turn this on. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be spending more time in the Word of God. If I was to actually do a survey of how much time we spend in God's Word, we would be ashamed, wouldn't we? All of us. We would be ashamed. We need to spend more time in the Word of God and less time spent on other sorts of things that will not bring about spiritual fruit or eternal rewards. This book has eternal rewards in it. And we're reading it when we're doing it. It's important and it's good. You know, I think there are three types of people today when it comes to how people see this book, how they respond to the Word of God. I think there's three types of people. There's those that completely reject it. That's the atheist maybe, the agnostic maybe. There are those that completely reject this as God's Word. I think that makes up, now this is just me, my best guess, I'm not pulling from some poll here or something, but I'm just kind of thinking this through. I would think that that makes up about 15% of population of society in the United States. 15% of people believe that this is absolute garbage. I think it's about 15%. I think there's another group, though, second group, that believes this truly is God's Word. They believe it's God's Word. They hold to it as God's Word. They read it as God's Word. I think that too, it's about 15%. So now I'm up to 30%. 15 who throw it away as total garbage. 15 who believe it as absolute truth. And that leaves us with 70%. And who do I think the 70% is? I think the 70% are those that just refuse. They kind of ignore it. It's there. Yes, it probably is God's Word, maybe, they think. Maybe they just don't care. They just kind of ignore it completely. And they think that gives them some place then of right standing even before God. Not that they deny it, not that they just discard it as garbage, but they just refuse to read it, to practice it. They just ignore it in their life. Someone wrote this, there's not a dime's worth of difference between denying the Bible and ignoring the Bible. Listen to that again. There is not a dime's worth of difference between denying the Bible and ignoring the Bible. The only difference is in what people say they believe. In reality, neither those who denied or those who ignore the Bible believe it is God's word to them, absolute, infallible, and the true source of all life. So now, really, through this, you get that 70% plus the 15%, really you got 85% falling into that category, whether they discard it as trash or whether they ignore it altogether, that are just non-believers. As Scripture says, the road's narrow, right? And few there be that find it. He said, Darren, your percent's too low. Oh, there has to be more than that in America that believe, that follow. I don't think there is. I don't think there is. I think we fool ourselves to think there is. 15% maybe. Maybe that is even high, unfortunately. Those that refute it, those that ignore it, those that believe it. Boy, I hope you're in that 15 or maybe less percent that truly believes that this is God's word, that you are following that, that you are believing what it says, not ignoring it in your life, but applying it and living by it. So what did Jesus have to say about God's word? That's what we're talking about here this morning. What did Jesus have to say about the word of God? Well, let's look here in our scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. And this is the words of Jesus. He says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Now, you know what a jot and a tittle is? Maybe you think, well, I don't know what that is. Well, you think of the dotting of an I and the crossing of a T. That's a jot and a tittle in the Hebrew. Just a small move of the pencil, but it means a lot, right? But he's saying it's just a small thing, but it will no by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Verse 19, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 20, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, number one here, I think what Jesus is saying about the word of God is that it is still relevant, and it is relevant to everyone. It is relevant. He's saying, "I've not come to destroy God's word." They seem to put him as an enemy of God's word, of the law and the prophets. They represent the word of God. That's what they had received up to this point. Now Jesus is bringing the word of God. He is the word of God, isn't he? He's referencing the Old Testament, which they knew was the Word of God, and what they were receiving through Him was the New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Word of God. And He wasn't, the New Word was not in competition with the Old Word. The New Covenant, while it was going to replace the Old Covenant, was not at odds with what God has said. Jesus had not come to refute or to dispute the things that God had already told the Jews, the Word of God. He had not come to destroy it, is what He says. "I've not come to destroy the law and the prophets," the Word of God. "I've not come to destroy these things, rather I've come to what? Fulfill them." Those things that are written there, they're speaking of Me. That lamb, think of that lamb to the Hebrew. That blood was placed above the door, right? That lamb's blood was shed so that death might pass over. He's saying, those things are speaking of Me. The Old Testament, I've not come to destroy it. I've come to fulfill it. And I've come to show you that in me there is life, that I am the Word of God. Jesus is the instructor, even a better instructor of God's Word. He's come to finish, really, what God has started. I kind of think of God building a home, kind of with the law and the prophets. You kind of think of those as the foundation. God had laid the foundation of the home. He had poured the floor. He had erected the walls. But He had stopped, hadn't He? The home wasn't finished. And Jesus is saying, I've come to complete the home. I've come to finish it. God, what God has started, now I am going to complete and I'm going to finish. And so the law and the prophets, He says, I've not come to destroy these things. I have simply come to fulfill them. The law, that means really that it, well, I guess the question could be asked, is the law applicable to us? Does it have a place in our Christian life? And the answer to that is kind of twofold. Yes and no. Do we seek out the law for salvation? Can the law save you? Remember, the law is doing and not doing. That's the law. Doing and not doing. God says, do this. Don't do that. Doing and not doing. And can doing and not doing, following the law, save you? It can't, can it? It can't. So the answer is kind of twofold. It's no. You know, is it applicable to us? No. Not necessarily in that way. But yet, the answer is also yes. Does the law reveal to us the intent and the good of God? Yes. The things which God said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not murder. Do you think that's still the intent of God today? Or did that all change? Oh, that's still the intent. Thou shalt not steal, still the intent. You see, the intent of these things continue to exist. Stanley Baldwin says, while the law is not our means of justification, it is, however, an expression of the will of our Lord. Even more basic, it is a reflection of the will of God. It is a reflection of His very nature. God does not now approve of adultery, stealing, profanity, idolatry, and other acts that are forbidden by the law. They were wrong before the Ten Commandments were inscribed on stone. They were wrong during the centuries from Moses to Christ. And they have been equally wrong from Christ's time till now. Isn't that great? Basically, the law, is it applicable to the Christian? Does it have value? Yes, it does. It still has value. The law teaches us the heart of God, the intent of God, the will of God. But does it save us? No. The law only points us that we need a Savior. It only directs us to say, you can't be saved under the law. Listen, there are a lot of people today that are trying to find their religion through pleasing God. They're trying to please God through what they do. And it's a lie. The law can't save you. Doing good will not buy you salvation. Even your best work falls short. I heard a minister say one time, I wouldn't depend on my very best day that I've ever lived. Wouldn't depend on that to save me from my sins. The very best day that you ever lived falls short. There's nothing. Under the law, under the doing or not doing, we cannot be saved. But the law still has a place within our life. It reveals the nature of God. It reveals the intent of God. And His law is still relevant today. It's still good. The Ten Commandments are still good, aren't they? They're quite a wonderful guide to look at today and tells us how God desires for us to live. You know, I was looking, just ran across some old laws. You know, think about God's law. It's never changed in all these years, thousands of years. We don't go through and make revisions each year on the Bible to say, well, you know, that old law back there, that one about thou shalt not murder, that probably needs to be updated. No, we don't make changes to God's law. But you know, man's law has had various changes throughout the years. I'll share to you some of the old laws. Some of these are still on the books. And they're just kind of crazy in some ways. In Oklahoma and Ohio, here's the law. You can't make faces at a dog. In Ohio particularly, you cannot make any kind of face at a dog, silly or not. And if so, it could result in a fine or even jail time. I guess somebody was making a funny face at a dog. The dog attacked him maybe, and that's why it went into the books as a law. But that's a real law. Oklahoma and Ohio, don't be making faces at dogs. In California, it's illegal to eat a frog if it died during a frog jumping competition. In Florida, it's illegal to sing in your swimsuit. In Arizona, now I don't know where they come up with this one. In Arizona, you can't have a donkey sleeping in your bathtub past 7 p.m. That's a real law. In Kansas, it's illegal to serve ice cream on cherry pie. Now, I wonder who ever come up with such a law like that. In California, it's against the law to eat an orange while taking a bath. In Alabama, it's illegal to drive while blindfolded. Now, there's one that still needs to be on the books. Definitely a bad idea. In Arkansas, it's illegal to sound your horn at any place where cold drinks and sandwiches are being served. In Georgia, it's illegal to consume fried chicken by any other means than with your hands. Isn't that weird? These are old laws. Nobody's getting arrested in Georgia for eating chicken without your hands. This is one I really like here. I'm thinking about bringing this one back. In Louisiana, it's illegal for a woman to drive a car without her husband waving a flag in front of it. It's illegal for a woman to drive a car without her husband waving a flag in front of it beforehand. That's what it says. This is a crazy law. In Maine, it's illegal to bite your landlord. In Kansas, it's illegal to throw knives at men wearing striped suits. In Georgia, it's illegal to tie a giraffe to a telephone pole or a street lamp. In Michigan, it's illegal to tie a crocodile.
Changes. The batteries never go bad. It's always relevant, isn't it?
No changes need to be made to God's law. Man's law constantly changing. God's law is forever. We don't have to go back and make revisions to what God has said. The principles of God's Word still teach. They still instruct us today. God's Word has absolute authority, doesn't it? Absolute authority. It should. in our life. You know, the problem with the world today, I think, is that we have gotten away from the authority of this scripture. I continue to say to myself as I look around and see the world in the shape that it's in, you think, what has gone wrong? Why are we seeing the things that we're seeing today? Why is the world in chaos? I don't know, how many of you watched the news last night and that in, I think it was California, about 30 or 40 people went into a store and just raided. Just come out, handful of stuff. Just a dash and grab. It was organized. 30-some people. It was just seeing more and more of this. Just a lawlessness that I don't think I've ever seen. And you think, what is going on? What has happened that people have no sense of right or wrong anymore? No concern about what laws exist or what's right? And it comes down to this. It's come down to that they have forsaken God's word, that the authority of Scripture no longer matters to them in their life. They do not care. Jesus said there in verse 18, heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle will pass from the law till all is fulfilled. God's word is forever, isn't it? And it's going nowhere. People just need to start recognizing it again. Okay. Number one, it's relevant. And then number two, the word is to be reverenced by all there. Verse 19, look there. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It's supposed to be followed by all people, isn't it? It's relevant and it should be revered. It should be reverenced. People should be obeying and following God's word today. The problem is, there's those first two groups, right? Those that don't believe it at all, cast it away as rubbish, and then those that just plain ignore it. And that's what we're seeing today. We've got to turn the tide on that. We've got to call for spiritual revival. People become coming back to seeing that God's word has and should have a place in their life. What Jesus is saying here is that you can dismiss the word. You can dismiss the things of God. But that doesn't dismiss you from the responsibility and the penalty that will come from not obeying God's word. Isn't that true? Amen? We can dismiss God's word, but that doesn't dismiss us from the responsibility. Jesus is saying ugly sins have ugly consequences. But the good news is that Jesus sent His Son into the world to fulfill the Scriptures, to fulfill the law. And that all those who would believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus would go to say in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I want everybody to say free. 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 You know the truth, you are set free. You're set free. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we don't discard it. We don't ignore it. Lord, we believe it as Your followers. Lord, we believe it. And Lord, I pray You put within each one of us a new desire to know Your Word, to read Your Word. Lord, I pray that we're each encouraged, that we go forth to seek again what to know what Your Word is saying to us. Lord, we need to be hearers of Your Word. But we can't be hearers, Lord, if we're not seeking it out. Lord, help us in our study. Lord, put within us that spirit that thirsts and longs for the Word of God in our life. Lord, we thank You. The words that You speak here this morning to us, the relevance of God's word and the reverence that we should be giving it. And I pray we are. Lord, we praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, our last hymn is an unusual one, but maybe you've seen it there. It's the B-I-B-L-E. How many of you remember that song when you were young? Listen, I searched and I thought, you know, I need a great hymn that would emphasize what we're talking about. And then that little children's song hit my mind. And I thought, well, we can do that together. And so I don't think we're going to have any music, are we, Gene? No, we're not going to have any music, but we're just going to sing it. And that's the way we sang it in Vacation Bible School, isn't it? So everybody stand. And we're going to sing it through three times. Remember, it's really short. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Now let's share this together. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Let's sing it again. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Last time, and sing it like you really mean it this time. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Well, isn't that wonderful? These little songs, they're important, aren't they? We learned them when we were kids, but they mean a whole lot. There's a lot of truth in that little song. One little verse, but it is true, isn't it? That is the book for us. That's the only book, isn't it? That's the one that really matters. The B-I-B-L-E. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for the B-I-B-L-E. Your holy word. Lord, Your Son Jesus lifted up Your word. And Lord, He fulfilled Your word. And Lord, we seek Him now and His instruction in Your word. We, Lord, thank You for Your Holy Spirit that we're not trying to understand this word by ourselves. But Lord, Your Spirit, the Spirit of God is living within us, helping us to discern and understand Your thoughts and intent. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, I pray again, You put within us that spirit, that desire, that thirst to know God's Word in our life. Let us turn off those things that are distracting us from Your truth, and let us put Your holy Word before our eyes so that we might read it and receive it unto ourselves. Lord, we praise You now. We thank You again for Your Bible. Bless us, I pray, as we go. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.